Dirty Moderates, I come to you on the 5th of July, a day after we celebrate our 247th birthday. And I want to make sure that I talk about democracy, what it means. I know you, those who follow me and listen to me, and thank you for that. I know it's our mantra here, my mantra, and the team's mantra, and why we started the podcast, because that is first and foremost the fight. As I said, when we began this journey, not even 2 years ago, that it's not a podcast for the partisan Republican. It's not a podcast for the partisan Democrat. It sounds quaint, but it's a podcast for the American. I think you've heard me say that democracy depends upon our disagreement. I've said it again and again. It's not a novel idea. I didn't create it. It's just what's rooted in this idea that was originally born in ancient Greece and worked in the, to some degree, I guess, in the Roman Republic, and has kind of morphed through the years into one version of itself or another, only to bring us to a place where in America we have a representative democracy, a republic. We're not a direct democracy. We send our representatives to represent us, but, you know, notions of the rule of law and the Constitution and the idea that we discourse, we discuss, we debate. These things are so fundamental to our country. And, you know, every year everybody celebrates the 4th of July. I always say we're such a young country, not even 250 years old. And I just read so much stuff because I have to consume it. I'm sure you, my listeners do too, but I have to consume it, you know, and I read it. And to have messages on the 4th of July from the MAGA right saying that all people who don't love Donald Trump are traitors and they should leave the country and we're making America great again and you're our enemy are repulsive. And so, in my opinion, are quotes from people on the far left who just say that there's nothing to celebrate because we're on indigenous land and we once owned slaves. And I have to just take the dirty moderate position. And what does that mean? First and foremost, democracy. Democracy relies on our good faith. And we, divided and partisan and polarized and all those things, are in an era of bad faith. Bad faith. So we hear people we disagree with and we impute the worst ideas and motives to them. We think that they... And that everybody we disagree with has an ulterior motive. Everybody's incorrect. Everybody's wrong. Everybody is looking at things through an oppressive prism or through a Trumpian prism. These are our binaries right now. And I reject them wholeheartedly. Look, I come with a lot of knowledge about what is called American studies. It's what I did in graduate school. And America is mythic, larger than life, contradictory, flawed, imperfect, often maybe too dreamy. But America itself is an idea. It's the only nation founded upon an idea that we, the people, could govern ourselves. Very, very important. Doesn't get said enough. We don't teach civics in this country anymore. And we also live in a fast food, high speed social media culture where quick takes matter, right? 240 characters on Twitter. Get your point out. Loud and nasty so they hear it. Get the clicks. But America is imperfect, but it must be asked, what country isn't? I mean, and America, the difference, and I put this to my good friends, and I mean that people that I know come in good faith, because that's what we're here to talk about, on the left who only see America as the oppressor or the villain. Don't you see, though, that the founders and all their flaws, except for John Adams, they were slave owners, which is horrific, and Andrew Jackson, you know, in his Trail of Tears, forced Native American removal. We have some horrible things and then some that human beings have done to other human beings. But don't you see that the idea of America is based on a set of ideals, which are also ideas? Right? That we have certain unalienable rights. Those rights don't come from the government. They come from us. They come from, some people think they come from God, but they're natural rights. They belong to us. And the government either secures and protects those rights, but it doesn't get in the way of them, right? We are not protected by government. We're protected from government. And the blueprint for liberty, only 247 years, first the Declaration in 1776, and then the ratification of the Constitution, 1789. These blueprints have given us the freedom to talk and to grow and to progress to the place that we've been. Right? These ideas aren't just the tools, for example, of, you know, some people may think that this is just the modern Democratic Party is progressive and they're putting forward all these things to make lives. But no, it doesn't belong to the Democratic Party. It doesn't belong to the Republican Party. Those parties didn't even exist in their current form back in the 18th century. These are Enlightenment ideas, universalist ideas of justice and equality and liberty that have had to been that have been fought for repeatedly and oftentimes stressfully and tragically in many cases, fitfully, but they have been fought for and there has been change. And a lot of things are a lot better. This is not 1952. Now, the rise of Donald Trump and the Republican Party's collapse, moral and philosophical collapse, has proven a true threat to democracy. Those are not, oh, we disagree with you guys, and I don't speak for myself here, but the general sense, oh, we may disagree with you on taxes or foreign policy or healthcare or anything like that. These are people literally saying that Donald Trump isn't the president. He should be the king. He's the orange overlord. Tried to overturn a free and fair election. Still hasn't conceded. Power at all costs. Shred our norms, values, and make our institutions weak. Make the institution of America strong. Invert John Adams's famous quote, "We're a nation of laws, not men," and make us a nation of men, make us a nation of Trumpian men, Trumpian people who work in the service of one man, who under the folly and the lie of making America great again, single-handedly tries to destroy it. That rise that of the last 8 years since he came down that escalator have forever altered our political landscape. And have made the fight for democracy not just something that we have to endeavor to do, but something that we must do, that's imperative, that absolutely has no respite in our current moment. It's an off year now, off election year. It's 2023. We here at Dirty Moderate are in a position to continue this fight because the fight is far from over. And I said this the other night over dinner. Oh, 2024 is the election of your lifetime. I know we've been talking about it now. I feel like we keep been saying that at least for 25 years. But folks, Senate, House, state legislatures, governorships, right? 2020 was rough, but boy, 2022, we pulled it through. 2024, Trump could conceivably win again. This guy has never gone away. Forget that he just hasn't conceded. He hasn't gone away. It's not going to be DeSantis. Not going to be these people. You all know I love Chris Christie, and he's never going to be there. It's not going to be Nikki Haley. It's not going to be Tim Scott. Not going to be Asa Hutchinson. I have no idea what Mike Pence is doing there. It's not going to be him, thank God. It's going to be Trump versus Biden, barring some unforeseen circumstance. And those are your choices. Many people are going to fight Team Blue like myself, who are not by registration, even to a certain extent by philosophy, on Team Blue. But we are fighting with you. So I extend my hand out to friends of mine and people who listen who are on the left or a progressive or more to the left of me who must understand every issue. Many of them are controversial and contentious. As Americans, we can disagree on them. People won't agree with my take on the student loan decision in the court or the affirmative action decision in the court, A, because they just don't agree with it. They're to the left of me, but also because they think the court is stained by Dobbs, which it is, and they have no good faith in those justices. And I think that, though, is unfair because the same court has upheld or killed the idea of racially gerrymandering House districts in Alabama. As a result of that, Louisiana is going to get more black districts, more Democratic districts in turn. Mississippi will too. Yeah. That the court said what Alabama was trying to do violated the Voting Rights Act. We're going to talk about that in another episode. Of course, we've also got a court that rejected the independent state legislature theory, which really was one of the underpinnings of Trump's attempts to overturn the 2020 election. It would have essentially neutered the courts and let the state legislatures themselves decide. So it gets rid of checks and balances, right? The same way that we have a federal constitution, right? We got a judiciary, we have a legislative branch, Congress, and we've got the executive branch, which is the president, all the cabinets, all the agencies. So do states. States have courts. States have a governor. States have a legislature. Well, they would like all the only people to have been able to determine the outcome of the election. This falls under this crackpot horrible theory, the independent state legislature theory, is that it would be that the decision would vest fully with the legislature, would rest fully with legislature, rather, that a court couldn't check it. So when Trump went and lost 60 plus lawsuits with his seditious lies, it would have been up to the legislatures in those swing states, and many of them are red. Michigan's now blue, but in other words, Wisconsin, there's other states in there that still have Republican legislatures, and the hope was that they would just certify it and throw the election to Trump, despite him losing the Electoral College. And although this isn't binding as a decision, losing the popular vote to 7.5 million votes to Joe Biden. Okay, the court rejected that too. Not everything is good and not everything is bad. Sometimes I think we're in a state of mania in our society, that we are politically manic because of there's two binaries and you're either with us or you're against us. If you don't agree with me, I'm your enemy, you're my enemy. And everything that has to be good is defined by one ideology. And if we're not all for that, you're a bad person. I mean, that's how reductive and silly and childish a lot of this is. You know, fellow Never Trumpers of mine came under fire for supporting some of the Supreme Court decisions last week, which of course I joined them on, not all of them, but some of them. And, you know, yeah, I heard them lamenting about people don't want to follow them. People don't want to listen to them. Folks, I can only speak for myself. I'm on your team. Okay. I am going to fight as hard as I've ever fought. Honestly, because this is the election of our lifetimes for Team Blue, while not being a Democrat. That's what I'm doing. That is our purpose. But you have to remember that it comes from good faith. I don't want Trumpian politics. I don't want Ron DeSantis. Everybody knows how I feel. Everybody knows that when I say that I want less government, I want people to be free from government. I want them to love who they love. I want them to choose an identity of their own. Choose their own gender identity. I don't want the government getting involved with any of this. I want them to be able to make decisions for themselves without the state weaponized against vulnerable communities. I want food stamp programs. I want there to be a social safety net. I'm with you on that stuff. We have disagreements on a bunch of stuff. We're going to come down to different decisions of the court. Of course, the overturning of Roe v. Wade and the Dobbs decision is, as I said, forever a stain on the court, a vile, horrible decision that's had horrible ramifications. I agree with you. Thankfully, Joe Biden and Congress before the end of 2022 signed Respect for Marriage Act, which made sure that gay marriage got codified, at least federally, into law, and that, you know, if states try to do any funny business, that a federal government would still have to recognize a same-sex union. Yeah, it's huge. Not just as a gay man, but as an American, I believe that's the right thing to do. Again, we are protected from government, not by it. Government cannot trample on our rights. They're natural rights. They're not rights by government. They're endowed by our creator. They're endowed by our society. They're endowed by virtue, by dint of our existence as citizens in an ostensibly democratic small d republic. This is key. And lots of people are going to join the fight for democracy again, right? If not for the Republican vote, the Bannon line, as it's called in the Lincoln Project, where, I don't know, anywhere from 3 to 8%. In 2022, some people said anywhere between 4 and 11% of conservatives or Republicans voted Democratic because they represent the suburban moderate vote. Let's say they're not just women, but they could be suburban women, the folks who had voted, let's say, for John McCain in 2008 or Mitt Romney in 2012. Did not vote for Trump, even if they horribly did the first time. They certainly did in the second time, and they keep voting blue as the party of Lincoln commits to malice, chaos, vituperation, anger, white supremacy, transphobia, homophobia, rage, and destruction. Republican Party, as it stands, is an ideological incinerator. They are not a party bound by conserving anything, let alone the rule of law, our institutions, our norms, our values, our precepts. No, they are happy to create an incinerator, something that would shred and burn our move toward a more perfect union. And I want that too. We could disagree on how to get there, and we will. And that's the beauty of it. And there are many, many people who out here in the middle, you know, we get called all the names for our centrism, our mushy middle views, our pragmatism, whatever it is. They're all way too narrow categories, I would say, because people are complicated. Politics is complicated. Always. We're a reflection of life, which is complicated. But we're out here saying that, yeah, we have good faith. We want America to continue making progress, and it will. We know we're not there, but we know we've come a long way. And though some people want to say that we didn't because it's good for their agenda or good for their grift, I'm here to tell you that we have. As a gay man, we've come a long way. I mean, 15 years ago, gay marriage was getting voted down in California of all places. Yeah. So we have huge struggles still and huge challenges ahead of us, which have to be surmounted. And more than that, they have to be defeated because we're up against arsonists. They're American arsonists, the people who are trying to destroy everything that's good about America because they don't like it. Either they want to own the libs, they want power, they hate other people. It's a variety of things. They're angry at who knows what. Fight for democracy, though, means that there are millions of us who have good faith, who can still disagree on Supreme Court decisions and all those things that we had in the before times, policies and taxes and spending and anything, student loan forgiveness, you name it. And we could still fight a common cause, because right now the common cause isn't which party holds the White House. It just happens to be the Democratic Party is the only party that's committed to democracy. And we only have two parties. Democracy depends upon our disagreement. That's what it is. We're a vast country, 320, 330 million people, vast geography. People always say maybe we're 11 or 12 countries. We are a lot in one land surrounded by two oceans. We are not, I don't believe we are as disunited as it seems, but we do have a lot of substantial disagreements. But those disagreements are subordinate. They mean less than the larger fight to not just protect democracy, but to continue that we try to strive to build a more perfect union. That is exactly what we believe in here at Dirty Moderate, and that's what we want you all to know. And we stand with any warrior for democracy first and foremost, regardless of your party. That, to me, is worth celebrating. And that, to me, coming on the heels of the 4th of July makes me proud to join you in the fight. And you bet the flag doesn't belong to anybody in particular. It certainly does not belong to MAGA. That flag is ours. It belongs to us. And I wave it proudly because I wave it on behalf of not just us and what we are, but what we can still be. So patriotism does not have to be a dirty word. Don't surrender it. Most of all, don't surrender what for less than 250 years has been the greatest experiment in self-government the world's ever known. Yeah, we are unique like that. That's America. And I'm proud of it. Folks, thank you for listening. Hope you did have a good holiday. Of course, TikTok, a lot of action over there. We're at Dirty Moderate Nation, at Dirty Moderate Nation. Of course, if you're listening to this, clearly you subscribed. If you haven't, get us anywhere you get your podcast. And lots of big news coming up for you. So stick around. Thanks for following. Thanks for listening. You guys make this all possible. And in the meantime, stay dirty, stay moderate. And of course, stay safe.